Oh God, sometimes the word can feel heavy, maybe overly black and white, binary. It can feel prescriptive. Sometimes a word can feel like anything but freedom. But God, it is freedom. So help us to hear the word today, the liberation there that we find. Help the word today be a sandbox to play in. Let it be a flourless chocolate cake to enjoy. Help it to be for us freedom and lightness and nothing less. Amen. So these things we've got on our faces, right? With teeth and gums and tongues, our mouths, right? We're born with them, and for many of us, we begin communicating with them right from the first seconds that we're born. We communicate through crying. We communicate through cooing after a while. Then we start to learn some words, mama, dada, things like that. I did some research this week, and I found that, you know, on average, more or less, by the time we're 15 months old, we can speak 10 words. By the time we're 2, that's gone all the way up to 250 words. By the time we're 3, we can speak 1,000 words. And do you know how many words the average English-speaking adult knows our vocabulary? 42,000 words, right? I've heard it even higher. Some say even up to 60,000 words. But we don't only know 42,000 words, but we use them, don't we? Did some research on this as well. And so for the average adult, men and women alike, the average adult in speaking English speaks about 16,000 words a day. So if we break that down, say we're awake for 16 hours a day, that means we speak 1,000 words an hour, or roughly 17 words a minute. Every minute of our waking lives for our entire adult life. That's a lot of words, right? We speak and talk a lot. I'm a preacher, so I know this, but we talk a lot, right? So I got to thinking this week and wondering why we human beings talk so much. I didn't do any research about this. It seems pretty straightforward to me. I've been thinking about it. It seems that we use 16,000 words a day because words are one of the most powerful tools we have available to us to engage, manipulate the world around us, right? So think about it. We use our words to teach and to learn. We use it to ask for help, to demand for help sometimes, and to provide help to other people. We use it to enter into relationships, to develop partnerships, to develop economic relationships. We use our words on a darker side of things as well, to manipulate or to deceive to get what we want. And we can even use our words, we know this, to destroy those we don't like or who are a threat in some way to us. So our words are a powerful tool that we have available to us, and we use about 16,000 words a day. So the great poet and user of words, Maya Angelou, who knows something about words, she observes this. She says, "Words are things, I'm convinced. You must be careful about the words you use, or the words you allow to be used in your house. Words are things, we must be careful. Careful about using racial pejoratives and sexual pejoratives and all that ignorance. Someday we'll be able to measure the power of words. I think they are things. They get on the walls, they get in your wallpaper, they get in your rugs, in your upholstery, and your clothes. And finally, words get in to you." So like Maya Angelou, James, the brother of Jesus, knew both the power of words and the care we must use when using them. James was, the author of the letter of James was most likely the brother of Jesus. And he was a leader in the early church. And the letter that we have is likely a circular letter that he wrote to be circulated among a variety of different churches. So it lacks some of the specific contexts and problems that we see in some of the other letters. It's more general in nature. But he wrote to encourage the church and to help build these churches up. And so it's no surprise to me that in the course of writing this letter and building these churches up and encouraging them, he takes some time in verse 3 to talk to them about the words they use that come out of their mouths. He was aware of the power of words, and he says, he uses three different metaphors, if you notice. He says that words are like a bit, a small bit that's in the bridle of a big horse. A small thing can turn the whole animal. Our words are like a small rudder that can turn a whole large ship. Our words are like a small spark that can start a great forest on fire. Repetition in the Bible is a way of saying, look, listen, 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 this is important. So he repeats three times in three metaphors in three verses the point for us that our words, though they may seem and feel small in some ways, they hold the power within them to make a gigantic impact on the world. So here's the dangerous news, that our words are powerful. We use 16,000 of them on average a day, and James points out to us that our tongues are really hard to tame, right? We can tame lots of things, lots of different kinds of animals, but our tongues are impossible to tame, he says. This is a truth we know even without talking to James or hearing from James. I don't know about you, but more times than I'm comfortable acknowledging in my day, I don't say things or I do say things that are inappropriate or out of place or the wrong tone or tenor. And sometimes, tell me if you feel this way sometimes too, you just know that you shouldn't say something, but you just can't help yourself. And you say it anyway, right? And the result of this, probably every day of our lives, is division and heartache and harm and just not some very good things. So our words are powerful and they're hard to tame. James ends his passage by offering us, James is kind of a black and white thinker, right? He likes to put things in A and B, binary, one and two choices. And so he says, you know, our words are powerful, our tongues are hard to tame, so we got to make a choice. Got to make a choice. You've got to choose whether your mouths are going to be used for praising or for cursing. Our mouths, we praise God with the same mouths that we curse our neighbors with, and that's a problem because cursing is like salt water poured into a freshwater well. No matter how much we praise those times of cursing, when we use our negative words, our divisive and harmful words, that just kind of overshadows everything else that we say. One negative phrase can overshadow maybe 100 positive compliments. So he says you got to make a choice. Do you want a mouth that's going to praise or to curse? Do you want a mouth that's going to harm or heal, to destroy or to build, to make the world a better place or to make it a worse place? So he leaves us with this stark choice. And James uses his words well. He's a good writer and he's inspiring. And when I get done reading our passage from chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, I'm right there with James. James, yes, I want to use my words for good. Absolutely. I want to get rid of the bad ways and stop saying things I shouldn't say or at the wrong time and stop yelling at my kids. And I just want to do good with my words. And then I close the book and forget out it, then go yell at my boys. Right? James is good. He uses his words well. He's inspiring, but it takes more than just a couple of passages in an old text and some inspiration. So the question becomes for us, what is the craft for living out the instructions that James is offering for us? How do we go about using our words for good? Not intending to use them for good, but actually in the real flow of our real lives, how do we go about doing that? So luckily, in the letter of James, he surrounds chapter 3 with some wise counsel for the how we can go about doing that. And the how is not a list of self-help books for us to go and read. It's not one of those, you know, the internet articles that are like the 10 things you can do to tame your tongue, right? You do these things and everything's going to be just fine. But he addresses the practical problem of taming our tongues with a spiritual answer. He says it perhaps best in chapter 4, verse 8, when he says, come near to God, and God will come near to you. See? So if we want to be those who use our words for good, the way to do it is not to focus on our mouths, but on our relationships with God. This is an invitation for us to commit and recommit ourselves to the ways and the things of God, to listening to the words of God, and not only listening to them, hearing them, but doing them as well. Words from God who tells us such important things like we need to feed and care for our neighbors. We need to be those who confess our wrongdoing to one another and seek forgiveness, to get rid of the junk in our lives and free it up for better things. We need to be those who pray and visit the sick, who worship our God in song. That if we want to speak better, the path forward to that, according to James, is for us to deepen our spiritual walk, to come near to God so that God can come near to us and help us to do that very hard thing of taming our tongue. And don't we think that the world needs tongues that are used for good, for healing rather than harming, for building rather than destroying, for praising rather than cursing? I like James. James is practical and concise and simple and straightforward in a lot of ways, and he lays out for us in some wonderful ways how we can follow Jesus better and be the church in the world. And this morning, we've heard some very practical, straightforward guidance about how we can use our 16,000 words a day to build up. And it's not hard to understand. I think it's pretty clear what we have to do. Deepen our spiritual walk. But the choice that James presents to us is this. You know what to do. Now are you going to go and do it? And thank God we have one another to walk together in that journey for the rest of the year. Amen.